So I don't know what's been told to you in the past, but I want to remind you this morning that you have a purpose and an assignment on the earth. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, there is a God in heaven who created you for a specific thing to be a part of here on the earth. Now, the last several years have been a little bit a lot. Say amen if you agree with me. All right, so I think for some of us, I know for me, I've just been kind of surviving. Maybe you found yourself there just kind of going through the motions. And God did not create us to just survive. He created us to thrive in this earth. You know, John 10:10 says that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came, Jesus came, that we might have life and have it to the full. And I want to tell you today that God wants to do a new thing in your life. Look at this verse, Isaiah 43:18-19. It says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." That is really easy to do, right? Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I want to say that over you today, that God wants to do a new thing in your life. Now, several years ago, I was under a teaching, and it was kind of like one of those aha moments for me. I've been a believer since I was 4 years old. Actually, I want to honor my mom today. My mom led me to Jesus when I was 4 years old, kneeling on the edge of my yellow canopy bed. I had been watching a story on TV. It was around Easter time, and there was a segment in the movie where all the little children came unto Jesus and like sat on his lap, and he was talking to them and loving them. And this is at 4 years old. I can vividly remember it. And I remember just sobbing because I wanted to see Jesus. I ran to my mom, who of course was vacuuming at the time. The old school vacuum, that's like the square with like the long hose. That's what she had. And I ran to her and I said, "Mommy, I want to be with Jesus." And she goes, "Okay, just a minute. I'm going to need you to go to your room and I'll be there in a second." So I go to my yellow canopy bed. Honestly, guys, I thought we were going to Jesus's house that night. I was thrilled. But she came in and she said, "You know, we can't see him today, but you can ask him into your heart, surrender your life to him and be with him one day in heaven." And I gave my life to Jesus right there on the canopy bed. So I'm so grateful for that. But I've been walking with Jesus for a really long time. And I've heard a lot of beautiful faith principles. But just a few years ago, I feel like I really got some understanding on the difference between three terms that you're probably going to hear a lot in church, and for sure you're going to hear a lot in this house. And it's these three things: your identity, your calling, and your assignment. And it's really important that you know the difference between the three of these, because if you put your identity in what you do, as soon as that what you do changes, you tend to get lost, because that is actually your assignment. Identity is the fact that when you place your faith in Jesus, which we are all created to eventually do, he gives us the choice, but we were created in the image of God to be a follower of God and to live out the principles that he has for us in his word. So when I place my faith in Jesus, my identity is that I am now a daughter of the King. I am now a child of God. That is my identity, and that does not change. It does not matter what I have done, what I will do, or what I might do later this afternoon. Because of Jesus dying on the cross, there is forgiveness of sins, but my salvation is solidified when I ask him to come into my life. That is my identity. That does not change. Now, my calling is kind of the overarching theme of your life. I think that sometimes we ask people a little too soon what the call of God is on their life. Because I feel like when I was in college, I got that question a lot. What do you feel like God's called you to? And I misused the word calling for what is actually assignment. So I got a music education degree, and after college, I graduated and I taught full-time music. I felt like I was called to teach. Well, actually, that was my assignment for the season, because I'm actually not teaching full-time music anymore. But for my life, there has been this overarching theme of teaching and leading and growing people, and that, I would say, is part of the call on my life. But my assignment is how the calling on my life is being fulfilled right now. And let me say this on Mother's Day to the moms out there, because some of you right now are in a season where you are home and you are raising those babies full time and you are changing diapers and you are picking up toys and you are doing all the things that really potentially feel like you are being overlooked. But let me tell you, that is the assignment of God on your life right now. You will not regret it, and it is beautiful. And those of you working moms who are full-time moms and working moms, I believe with all my heart, there's an extra grace on your life when you lean into the mercy of God. It is your assignment for now. So our calling is consistent, but our assignment changes. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense to you. So in regards to all of that, though, there is still great purpose on your life. And the enemy would love nothing more than to distract you from the purpose that God has for you. So I want to look today in the book of Acts at the story of Paul. Now, Paul was one of the great apostles who preached the gospel of Jesus to the point where he was beaten for it, he was stoned for it, he was shipwrecked 3 different times because people didn't want to hear what he had to say. Maybe some of you feel like that. But you know what? Paul persevered and he pushed through. There's 3 shipwrecks that Paul went through, but I want to talk specifically about 1 shipwreck in particular today. And listen, you know this is a house that learns and grows, and we take notes. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write down the title of today's message, which is this: Shipwrecked but Not Sunk. Shipwrecked but Not Sunk. Because here is the deal. If you have yet to be shipwrecked in your life, you will be one day. And I'm not trying to be not positive, but I am positive that there will be a time in your life that you are going to feel the rumbles of life around you, and you are going to feel like you are being shipwrecked and you don't know what to do. But I want to tell you, because you've placed your faith in Jesus, when you place your faith in him, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you have the ability to be shipwrecked, but not sunk. Okay, so let's look in the book of Acts. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. It's going to be up on the screen for you. All right, it says this: Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. So let me pause here for 1 second. Paul is on a ship. They get shipwrecked, and we're picking up. I'm going to go back in a minute, but we're picking up to where they landed after the shipwreck. So this is after the shipwreck. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that they were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, then they changed their minds and decided he must be a god. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Okay, so I basically gave you the end of the story before giving you the beginning and the middle. So keep what I just read in mind, but I want to back up a little bit and talk about what led to Paul being on the island and some of the things that Paul did on the island that can help us when we find ourselves in a shipwrecked situation. All right, so Paul is on the ship. He's actually getting transported to Rome to be put in prison for preaching the gospel. The other prisoners on the ship, they were going to be executed, which means they did some terrible things in order to be executed in Rome. This was not the love boat, okay? So you've got 276 passengers on board, most of which were there because, for a lack of better terms, they deserved to be there. They were prisoners that had done wrong. So a journey that should have taken them 3 weeks to get to actually took over 3 months. Now, I want to pause here because I imagine for some of you that maybe there's been a storm in your life and something that you thought was going to be over really quick maybe has taken a lot longer than you thought it should. And I want you to know that there are just some beautiful principles in God's word that can help us with that. You know, maybe you got an unexpected phone call that has put you in a situation where you feel afraid, or maybe a job loss or unresolved conflict in relationship. It's as if life is going along pretty smooth, and then kind of bam, out of nowhere, life can kind of catch you off guard, right? And that's what happened with this shipwreck. They were going along, sailing smoothly, when a storm came up and everything changed. Now, let me read something to you that happened. Just listen for a minute, because after a while, you can imagine they didn't pack enough food on the ship for a storm. They did not prepare themselves for that. So they ran out of food. They ran out of water. So now they're probably hungry and angry. Let's be hangry together, right? Maybe some of you know that term. I know I get a little hangry. You know, my husband's here today. I'm not going to ask him, but he maybe could confess to that. So you've got 276 hungry prisoners on a ship, potentially hallucinating, you know, all the things you could imagine when someone's starving. So an angel comes to Paul and gives him a word. Listen to what the angel says, Acts 27, 22 through 26. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. So Paul is saying to the men what has happened the night before. I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. This is what he's saying to the prisoners. He continues, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. In other words, you have to get to Rome. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So Paul is encouraging the men with the fact that we are all gonna make it. It's gonna be okay. The angel of the Lord came to me and he promised that. And also, we're gonna have to go aground onto an island. So just a little bit of a heads up. We are gonna shipwreck, but not one of us is gonna die. We are all gonna survive. You know, even in the storm, an angel came and spoke to Paul. Sometimes when we get a word from the Lord, sometimes it is just for us. But then there's sometimes that it's for the other people in our lives too. So be careful when you get a word from God. Again, be discerning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, is this just for me? But in this case, Paul was given a word from an angel, not just to encourage himself, but to encourage those that were involved in the situation as well. Because sometimes someone else needs your faith to have their faith built up. So on the 15th day, they're in this storm, and on the 15th day when dawn broke, they struck a sandbar and ran aground. Each passenger escaped the shipwreck in their own way. Some jumped, some rested ashore on planks and other pieces of the ship. You know, it's interesting to me because in some ways, the very thing that let them down was a part of what led them to safety. You know, everyone on the ship reached land safely, just as the angel of the Lord had said. And they landed on the island of Malta. I love the word of God for so many different reasons, but one of my favorite things is that I am in the details. Listen, my husband, he's not into the details. Like if my husband was gonna describe a story to you, it's gonna like, this is what happened, beginning, end, period. My story is gonna take 15 minutes. Like, I am into the details. I want to know, well, what were they wearing? What did it smell like? Did you have a hamburger and fries? What did you eat? Let's stop. What was on the menu? Like, that's me. So one thing about the word of God, if you will really take the time to read it, is that God is in the details. Okay, so they happened to land on the island of Malta. And the island of Malta, hundreds of years previous to that, had been named by a group of, let me make sure I'm saying this right, Phoenicians. Phoenicians. Originally, it was called Melita, and then it became Malta. But the meaning of that word is refuge. So this island literally became a refuge for these passengers on the ship. Listen to me, when you are in the storm of life that you may be in right now, look for the details in the hand of God. He will not leave you, he will not forsake you, but some of it is up to us to pay attention to where he's moving and where he's speaking, right? So I want to talk this morning about a few points that we can learn from Paul's experience on Malta. Because again, if you haven't been in a shipwreck, you will at some point in your life be in a shipwreck. And there's some principles that Paul played out in this story that I think are going to be very good for us too when life hits. So the first thing is that Paul was serving, he was helping, he was doing the right thing when a snake came out and bit him. You need to know that as believers in Christ, we are not exempt from trials and suffering. But we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All right? Scripture actually says we will face trials of many kinds, but we can take heart. So when you place your faith in Jesus and you begin this faith journey, you will find yourself in hard places at times. You are not exempt because you are a believer, but life is better because you are a believer and have placed your faith in Jesus, right? So that's the first thing. He's helping, doing the right thing when the snake comes out. Second thought, it was the heat that drove out the poisonous snake. The heat of the fire is what drove the snake out. And when you turn up the heat in your faith life, it will draw attention, and the vipers have a tendency to come out. Let me explain a little bit about what turning up the heat in your walk with Jesus looks like. Maybe for some of you, you have decided this year to make attending the house of God a priority in your life. That is a way that you are turning up the heat a little bit in your life, because you are choosing weekly to come into the house of God with a room full of faith-filled believers to grow in his word and to learn and to develop your faith, right? Maybe another example of turning up the heat is that you no longer go to the parties that you once did, or you no longer partake in the things that you once partook in. Maybe you no longer hold unforgiveness towards that individual that in your mind really did not deserve the forgiveness that you gave to them. That's turning up the heat. Maybe you no longer participate in conversations that don't speak life or build others up. Maybe that's something you've chosen to do, and you are starting to maybe feel a little bit of the heat turning up in your life. Or maybe you decide to join the team and serve at church. Or maybe you decide to tithe and give back to the Lord what he's asked of you. I just want you to know, when you turn up the heat of faith in your life, the enemy is not interested in you drawing closer to Jesus. And I just want you to be aware that that might be what's happening. I'm not saying that the devil is under every rock, because sometimes it's really just our choices, maybe things that we've done. But Paul was doing the right thing by helping and serving when this snake came out and bit him. Number three, the snake attached itself to Paul's hand, and what did he do? He shook it off. I think there's a song about that. Shake it off. Anyways. So Paul shook off the snake. An action was required on his part. And there are things that the Holy Spirit will do in the supernatural, but there are things that we must do in the natural when we face certain things in our lives. So Paul shook this snake off. And the reason that is so important, obviously, you got to get the snake off of you. But secondly, the venom from the snake would have caused more harm in the long run. And here's what happens. When we allow the enemy to potentially plant bitterness in our lives, or unforgiveness in our lives, or a thought that is not of the Lord that we meditate on, and we let it kind of sit on us for a while, that venom is actually infectious. And what happens is that infection starts to affect our lives. And we begin to not walk out in the spirit like we once did because we've allowed that bitterness to hang on for longer than it needed to. And I need you to understand that I know this is not easy to shake it off. Because sometimes it is easier to point fingers and say, you know what, it's your fault. It's your fault that I feel this way, or it's your fault that I didn't get that job promotion, or it's your fault that I failed that class, or whatever it may be. But Paul knew that he had to shake that snake off so that the venom, the bad side of the snake would not get into his system and not just infect him, but affect him potentially to death. And I want to remind you today that you have the ability, when you place your faith in Jesus, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can do hard things. You can do hard things. You can't do it on your own, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. Number four, another thought is that the people questioned him. The people questioned Paul as it hung from his hand. In the middle of his attack, the people watched to see what would happen. No one came to help him out. They just stood there and watched. Listen, be careful to recognize the truth from a lie. Because at first the people are like, okay, the snake came out of the fire. It's attached itself to his hand. And this is because he's a bad guy. The shipwreck didn't take him out, but this snake is gonna take him out. So they stood there and they waited and they watched to see if he would lose his life. So then he doesn't lose his life. And then they decide he's a god. He's actually not just a bad person. He's not even just a hero. He must be a god because he wasn't affected by the snake itself. And I need you to know today that people are fickle. And guess what? I'm a people and you're a people, okay? So you cannot always go off of what other people say in your life. You have got to be able to differentiate the truth from the lies. This is for free today. Some of you need to stop reading the comments in the comment section on whatever social media device you use or newspaper that you read. Because everyone is going to have something to say, and you need to make sure that the truth that you are believing, the word that you are believing, is the truth and not a lie. I don't know if you've ever like read a review online. I like to online shop a little bit, maybe a lot of it. And it's so hilarious to me when I go to the reviews, because you've got one review that says, this is the softest shirt I've ever worn. And then the next review, this is so itchy, I would never even buy this for the worst enemy. And then the next review, this fits perfectly. Next review, this is so oversized. And here's the deal. It's because everyone has their own experience. And so you can't always go off of what someone else is saying. You've got to go after the truth in God's word and also the truth of the godly people that you have put in your life and surrounded you with, okay? Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is going to be the only person in your life that you can trust is going to be a constant. I love my husband and he loves me, but there are times he disappoints me. I don't ever disappoint him. But there are for sure some times that we let each other down. So you cannot depend on another human being to fill every need that you have. The only person in your life that can do that is Jesus. I just wanted to take a minute and tell you a personal story of mine. I'd say my own shipwreck that happened to me really pretty recently. And I think sometimes that maybe you come on a Sunday and you see me and my husband and our cutie kids and this beautiful ministry that God has done. And I just want you to know that life is life for everybody. And like I said earlier today, no one is exempt from just the fact that we live in a fallen world. And the enemy, again, he wants nothing more to do than to divide up God's people. And about 18 months ago, I actually experienced my very first panic attack, and it was pretty extreme. It actually happened to be on the way home from my son's Chuck E. Cheese birthday party, which maybe that was the initial, I think that was just the final straw. That was the final straw of the panic attack, but it definitely caught me off guard. I'd never experienced anything like that before. I got home, found myself under the covers, and was not great. My husband, who is wonderful and loves me so much, didn't know what to do and, you know, suggested maybe sending me off somewhere, which is really sweet of him. But I thought, you know, let's just talk to our counselor first. Let's talk to our counselor and see what he suggests, because life is really hard, guys, and counselors and Christian therapists are really wonderful people to help you walk through some things. You know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I just want to say right now, in Jesus' name, shame off of you for any condemnation that you might have put on yourself or others might have put on you. The Lord puts things in our paths for a reason, to help us walk through life. So we had a counselor, and our counselor listened to my story and what was going on, and he said, you know what? It's as if you hit a wall full force, and you are experiencing burnout. Now, I couldn't clear everything off of my plate, because life is life and you don't always get to do that. But I did take some time to try to figure out what are the things I need to step out of for a while. And you know, it was very scary. It ended up being a 9-month process for me. And even though in my mind I felt like, how did this happen? Like, I thought I had it all together. Like, I had all my boxes checked. Like, I've got the mom thing going. I've got the wife thing. I'm the friend. I'm the pastor. I'm all these things. So in my mind, I had it go. I thought everything was okay, but my body was not good. And if you don't know this, your body does keep score. And sometimes pain is a gift, because pain is an indicator that something is not right. So I had this 9-month journey of trying to figure out exactly what God was doing and what I was going to do. And I just want to read for a second a little bit of what I personally experienced in that season, because maybe you can relate too. I couldn't remember names. Being in any crowd of people that I knew would expect me to be me, which was fine normally, but that was just too much. Local shopping had to turn into online, which is probably where my other problem came from. Or delivery. The sadness at times was overwhelming. I honestly didn't know what kind of wife, mother, friend I would be, what role in ministry I would continue to have, if I'd ever speak in church again, let alone lead or be able to accomplish anything other than just showing up. It was a time in my life that I had never experienced before, so I didn't know what to do with it. And again, none of this was on purpose, but sometimes life happens. And some of it was based on my choices, but it was really more so how I let life affect me. You see, I kind of knew I wasn't doing okay, but I kind of stuffed it down. Any stuffers in the room? Because I think that there's times that we tend to give other people more grace than we give ourselves. And because of that, my body decided, I'm gonna let you know now that you're gonna need to pay attention to this. I want you to look at Romans 8:28 with me though. Because I know the word of God in this season, this was the scripture that resonated in my mind. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. Now, recognize with me very quickly, it does not say all things work together for good, period. It says all things work together for good to those who what? Love God and are called according to his purposes. So there, God does have a way of making everything in our life beautiful when we surrender it to him. There's another passage that the Lord brought to my attention in this season. And this verse really became my mantra over those 9 months. It was John 15:2, and it says this: he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You know, the Greek word for prune is also he cleans. And I discovered in that season that there were some branches in my life that were no longer bearing fruit and needed to be cut off. And there were some branches that were bearing fruit, but needed to be pruned because the fruit that it was bearing needed to be clean. And the branch is the source of the fruit, right? So the bad branch needed to be cut off. But because there were branches producing fruit that needed to be cleaned, it was for the benefit of multiplying for more fruit. And here's the thing today. If you find yourself in a season where you feel like, that is me, I feel like God is pruning me right now, cleaning me right now, the good news is you have fruit to prune. Because there is purpose in your life, and God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to just have fruit. He wants you to have fruit multiplied, right? So last week, we looked at Galatians 5 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? These are fruit of the Spirit, and these fruit in our life, they sometimes get dirty. Now, I'm not going to be, okay, I'm being authentic and vulnerable with you today, but I am not going to tell you the specific fruit that God needed to clean up in my life because it's a little embarrassing. But I'm confident that there are areas in your life that God loves you so much and wants you to multiply in fruit so much that he wants to clean and do some pruning in you. A few things that helped me on my journey really quickly that I want to share with you today that I hope encourage you is this is what I did in the natural, and the Holy Spirit met me in the supernatural. The first one was this: I read the Word of God. And I'm sure if you've been in church, you're like, well, duh, of course you read the Bible. No, no, the Bible has power to heal. And I had to read verses like Jeremiah 29:11 that say, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. It was those kind of verses I put on post-it notes around my house to see. I memorized scripture. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. I needed renewal. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit in me. That was the verse I needed to memorize and make my screensaver. I put God's word in my face at all times to help me heal in this pruning season. If you just don't feel like you have the time or the energy or the ability to read, get out your Bible app and let it read to you. Get the word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your ears, in your spirit. Number two, I've prayed specific prayers. Not this big churchy prayer, which is beautiful. I love a good prayer, but prayers like this: God, help me. God, I need you today. God, would you get me out of bed? God, would you help my children listen today? God, would you make me patient? Prayers like that, specific things. Do you know that God wants you to talk to him? It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. He just wants, prayer is just simply conversation with him. The next thing is I came to church, and this was a very tough one for me. And you're probably like, well, of course you came to church. You're one of the pastors. No, no. I come to church because I'm a child of God. And the house of God is a priority for me, but it was really challenging for me to show up at a place where people expected me to be a certain way. But I was reminded of the story in 1 Samuel, where Elkanah had two wives. He had Peninnah and Hannah, and Peninnah could have children, Hannah could not have children. And every year they went to the temple, and every year Peninnah would ridicule Hannah. She would make fun of her that she couldn't have kids. She would agitate her. And every year Hannah knew that was gonna be her experience on the way to the temple, but she did not forsake the house of God. And ultimately it was in the house of God where the prophet Eli came to her and said, you will have a son this time next year. You will name him Samuel and you will bring him back here and dedicate him to the Lord. Her miracle was found in the house of God. Because once again, when you don't have faith, you need the faith of other people to lift up your spirits and bring healing back into your life. Worship was another thing for me, and it's not just singing worship, but it was listening to worship. It was getting outside and seeing God's creation. Worship helped me to heal. And finally, I was honest with a few trusted friends, not a lot of people, because not everybody can handle your stuff, guys. You got to be really careful who you share things with. But I shared things with my close friends that I knew would pray and fight and stand with me. And you know what? I also shared with a few friends that I knew who had gone through similar situations. Because you know, misery loves company. You've heard that. But hope loves company too. And you got to tell somebody. You've got to tell somebody that you know will reach out, not ask a lot of questions, be honest with them about what you can handle, but who will reach out and climb that mountain with you. And you know, God did such a beautiful work in my life over those 9 months, which is kind of interesting, the timing of that, because I mean, after 9 months, I had a baby, you know, when I got pregnant. You understand what I'm saying? And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like it was new life. God had put a new song in me. And that can be for you today too. Let's quickly jump back into the story of Paul on Malta in closing today. So this is how Paul handled himself in the midst of being shipwrecked and being bitten by a snake and shaking it off and being ridiculed by the people and just really handling that situation so well in the midst of it. Because of it, his story became a testimony. And because of how he handled it, the people took him to the chief of the island whose father was sick, and Paul was able to lay hands on him and pray over him, and he was healed. And then the word got out, and all the other sick people from the island came, and Paul laid hands on them, and they were healed as well. And when the time came for them to get on a ship and travel to Rome again, all of their supplies and all of their needs were met, not just Paul's, but all of the prisoners that were with him. And that's the deal with the situations that happen in our life. You know, I call this time in my life redemptive vengeance. And it's basically using what the enemy meant for evil for good. Using our pain for God's glory. When you take what the enemy took to destruct your life and with the power of the Holy Spirit, turn it for good. Because it's not just about you getting healed. It's about others in your life being healed too. And you know, if we let them, the shipwreck moments in our lives can either lead to our limit or it can lead to our legacy. And I pray today that no matter where you find yourself, that you would know when you place your faith in Jesus, you have received a friend and the power of the Holy Spirit who desires to help you get through this shipwreck in your life. Because with God, you will not sink. You'll actually make it to the shore, probably learn a little bit and grow, and God will use you in ways that you could never imagine. Would you pray with me today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just gonna ask you, if you're here this morning and this message ministered to you and you feel like right now you are in a season where you are shipwrecked, would you just raise your hand? No one looking around. This is just a sign for me to see who I'm praying for, but also a sign for you to say maybe to the Lord, God, I'm surrendering this to you today. Let me pray over you. God, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the power of your word, that it is so personal to us even today. God, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you would meet them where they are. God, would you bring a supernatural strength inside of them to rise up this morning, God, to know that they can tackle that hill in front of them, God, that there is more to the story that has yet to be written. Father, I pray that you would give them a spirit to fight, a will to keep going, God. Lord, I thank you that we can do hard things through you. So, Father, I pray today would be a reminder that you are with them, that they are not alone. And God, I ask today that what you allowed me to walk through would be a hope story for someone else, because you have such beautiful legacy to still write through our lives. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.